Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Journey with Judy. Honest, open, transparent. It's hot.
There's no such thing as perfect people. There's no such thing as a perfect life.
Good morning. Thank you for choosing to journey with Judy right here on Lake 96.1. And so we're on the other side of Lent. We are now Easter people. We are people who live the resurrection, who celebrate the dying, and more importantly, the rising of Jesus. We are called to see him in every situation and person and be him in every situation and person. And let's be honest, guys, this is a show about being honest, open, and transparent. It is really, really hard. It is really, really hard to love, right? I mean, we just experienced last Sunday the ultimate gift of love, the ultimate gift of forgiveness. And for some reason, it's just so much easier to talk about it than it is to be about those very things. So my man and I, some of you know, have been married for 125 years. This August, it will be 25 years. But we do not acknowledge being married for 25 years because really, like the first 10 years were just a blur. I mean, we were, I just think we should rewrite the marriage vows because the bottom line is I had no idea what better or worse meant. I had no idea what for sickness, you know, with through sickness and health. I had no idea, not only what marriage was going to entail, but what parenting was going to entail. Because when my man and I got married, here's what we did. We were looking for the perfect person. And when we met each other, we thought that we were the perfect person, like that other person was the perfect person, like the missing piece to the puzzle that was going to fix, like whatever might have been broken. And here's the truth. We were both the most broken people who came to this marital union absolutely clueless about what it would mean to be in love and to sacrifice and to serve. Instead, we brought like a whole bunch of baggage, right? I said I've been traveling a lot lately, and I'm so mindful of the fact that the more baggage, the more it costs. The bigger the baggage, the more it costs. And so the other day when I was checking my bag, it was over the amount that it was supposed to be in weight, and therefore they charged me more. And I stood in front of this woman at the United counter, and I'm just going to tell you, I don't know how they got the name the Friendly Skies. They are so not friendly at United. I'm an American fan at the moment. But anyway, when she said it's going to cost more because it weighs more and it's too big, and I started to cry. She thought I was crying because of the $50. I was crying because I was so mindful of the fact that I've lived my entire life carrying way too much baggage, like bringing way too heavy of stuff that I was supposed to put down in the past and leave in the past into the next situation or circumstance. And so I was crying out of gratitude for the fact that God has revealed to me that I can put the past in the past and that he makes all things new. But here's the deal. It requires you. And in this case, it required me. So I was so happy to realize that, yeah, the bigger the baggage, the more it costs us. And so what we do, or what my man and I did, is we stepped into this marriage literally clueless with a whole lot of baggage. And so when we stood before God in the church and got married, we made promises that we had no idea how to keep. We made promises that not only did we not know how to keep, we were literally incapable of keeping those promises. And so about 10 years in, as you know, God in all his goodness imploded our marriage down to the ground. You'll have to read about that in my book called Shattered. But he literally brought it down to the ground because here's why. God does not ever want us to settle for less than his best for us. And for whatever reason, we don't act like an Easter people, but we act like people who are not willing to do what it takes to have this abundant life that God, you know, he sent his son so we would have it. And it's like, no, I'm good. I'd just rather go through the motions, accept mediocrity, kind of go along to get along. And that's what my man and I did for the first 10 years of our marriage. And so when God brought it down to the ground, my man would tell you, Bobby would tell you it was the worst thing ever. I would tell you it was the greatest gift ever. And it's kind of interesting. That's the dichotomy of Scripture. It's like sitting side by side are curses and blessings. And sometimes when we're in the midst of those storms, we only see our pain. And when all we see is pain, then all we see is pain. And for many people out there, relationships that they are in right now are causing them that kind of pain. So anyway, when my man and I had our marriage brought to the ground in 2003, we learned a whole lot about what it would take to be a happy couple. Now, we were not a happy couple. We were a surviving couple. And until we learned what it was to survive versus to thrive, we always choose to settle for less than God's best. So this show is going to be all about what my man and I learned the absolute hard way, which is, what is it that happy couples know? What is it? What is it that happy couples know? You're going to want to stay tuned on this journey with Judy right here on Lake 96.1. We'll be back on the other side of the break. All right, so welcome back. You're journeying with Judy right here on Lake 96.1. And I hope you are still practicing those Lenten sacrifices that make you the best version of yourself. For some reason, we step up our game for 40 days. And then when Jesus rises from the dead, we go back to doing all the things that we did before we started Lent. And I hope that's not the case. I pray that those 40 days were a time for you to get some new habits, right? Because our habits change. When our habits change, our lives change. And so we got to get some good habits to be able to live the life that God is calling us to live. So we started off talking about how my man and I were clueless. I mean, clueless. And then we came to realize very early on is that the issue was you. The issue was you. We were always finger pointing. We were in this major competition. We were always vying for, approval and attention. And the reality is, like, we just were not living in a thriving, sanctified union the way God really does call relationships to be. So regardless of your state in terms of relationships, I don't care if you're married, you're engaged, this show can actually apply to every relationship that we have, but it's really more significant focused on being in an intimate relationship with someone that would be your partner, your wife, your whatever. Because here's the deal. Great relationships do not happen by accident, right? We think we're going to stumble into meeting the right person, but if we spent all of our time becoming the person that we're looking for, if we become the person that we're looking for, the likelihood is we will find the person we're looking for. If we're looking for a person to fix that which is lacking in us, the odds are we will always come up short, and short we did. Because here's the deal. You know how you first start dating and then you think like you're really going to be compatible? Like, one of the rules I have in my house is when my kids start dating, which is age 16, they have to wait 40 days, okay? So when they're attracted to someone, which, let's be honest, is the initial thing, you're physically attracted to somebody. They have got to stop right there and wait 40 days to see if they are still attracted to that person. Now, this is biblical. I actually made it up, but I do find it is does find its roots biblically, because in 40 days, most people do not make the cut. Because here's what we do. We bring our A game in the initial stages of a relationship, right? I mean, we're just the best version of ourselves until we can let our guard down and be the worst version of ourselves, which is oftentimes the person that we end up marrying and spending the rest of our life with. So here's the deal. It's kind of like a car, right? Like, we don't want to work on it. We just want it to work, right? Relationships are kind of like a car. We don't want to work on them, but we just want them to work. However, just like a car, any relationship needs some maintenance. Now, if you're married to someone like me who is high maintenance, which I think I'm getting better in that respect, I'm a little better than I used to be. Thank God it's a journey and not a destination. But maintenance is so important, right? So if we're talking about, if I'm saying to my man, like, we need to talk, here's what he's thinking. Something's wrong and it has to do with me. Right? Us women, we just want to talk and talk and talk. I think we say like 20 times the amount of words in a day that are that most men say. Because let's tell the truth. We got a lot to say and we want to be heard. And more importantly, as women, we want to be understood, or at least pretend like you understand me. I always tell Bob there's like three responses that he needs to give me. He never seems to draw that response. But if I had like a little flashcard where he could, you know, answer correctly, the odds are when I said we need to talk, he'd be much better suited for those conversations. But here's the deal. If it's not broken, typically the mentality is, then what do we need to talk about? Like, unless it's really, really bad, why do we need to waste our time talking about it? So I don't care if you're single, engaged, newlywed, or married for 4,000 years. The reality is we come to every one of those situations with some hopes, with some dreams, and with some desires. We absolutely do. Hopes, dreams, and desires. And if you're anything like my man and I, they were very unclear and undefined, right? Until you get to the relationship. And then all of a sudden, those hopes and those dreams and those desires become very, very clear. So if my man and I were smart, if we were smart, right? Here's what happy couples today did before, okay? Before they got together and made serious lifelong commitments, they talked about things like money. They talked about things like chores. They talked about budgeting. They talked about maybe children, what kind of house they were going to live in, what kind of car they might drive, how they would spend their leisure time, how they would spend their holiday time. So my man and I talked about zero. Can I get you on the air, my dear, and tell me, are you a married woman?
I am married.
And did you talk about any of these things?
Not at all.
And was it helpful to you or ended up being a hurtful thing?
It was a very hurtful marriage. My first one.
Okay, so yes. There you go. So yeah. Did you learn a lot the first time around?
Absolutely.
So you brought less baggage to the second one? Different baggage.
It's different baggage.
It is.
Completely different baggage.
But do you agree with my statement that the bigger the baggage, the more it costs?
Absolutely.
Okay, so thank you for tuning in, my dear. Okay, so here's the deal. If we talked about these very necessary things, it would be very clear to our partners, the people that really want more than anything to make us happy, what it takes to make us happy. Because we've got some hopes, we got some dreams, and we have some desires, and they do not go away because we said, I do. They do not go away because they've been dismissed or rejected or discarded. But here's what happens is, it's typical that we step into these relationships thinking like what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. Like that, I believe that I still find myself defaulting to that. Bob said to me the other day, it's funny how your bank account just keeps going up, but our family bank account just keeps going down. Because I run to the bank with my checks and put them in my account, but my man writes all the bills from our account. So maybe you like that idea. What's mine is mine, what's yours is mine, right? What's ours is mine, what's yours. Well, anyway, so here's the deal. If we honestly spent some time unpacking this box, right? It's a box. It's baggage. We bring it to the party about our hopes and dreams and desires. If we talked about it, we would know long before what the person hopes, dreams, and desires. Because here's what happens. If we don't know before, those hopes and those dreams and those desires feel much more like an expectation. Right. So what I hoped and what I dreamed and what I desired now becomes what I expect of you without any knowledge beforehand of what it is that I was hoping and dreaming and desiring. So here's the thing. Many of us bring we bring our own family of origin. We bring our own past experience. We bring our own conflict resolution. Right. We bring all of these things to the party. And the other thing we never talk about and just assume that the other person knows is how we're going to treat each other. Like, what is the thing that you know your husband should never do, or you as a wife, your husband thinks you would never do? if we don't talk about that stuff, then it's almost impossible to be about those things. Because here's what we do. We draw from our past what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've come to believe. And then we take those hopes, dreams, and desires, and we either try to recreate what we know worked, right, from our parents or grandparents or people we know, or we swear that we are never going to be that couple that didn't model for us what a happy couple knows and does. Instead, we bring what's ours is mine and what's mine is ours. Is this confusing or does this make nothing but sense? Come on and tell me, my dear.
I'm following you.
You following
yeah,
me?
Yeah, exactly. What's mine is mine and what's ours and his is mine
as well. It's also mine.
And but, so it's, but mine is kind of mine.
Yeah, a little
you
bit.
Know, and
but
the,
I'll decide.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'll absolutely decide
right.
what we're sharing and what we're not. But here's the deal. If mama's happy, everybody's happy. So when if I'm getting what I want my way in my time, and then I'm happy. The reality is that is so not what a relationship is about. That is so not what love is calling us to, because at some point we cannot help but take our hopes, dreams, and desires and cast them onto our person and say, like, make them come true. It's on you. Like, I need you to come through. And I don't know, maybe none of this is relating to you, but I can tell you, I got my hopes, dreams, and desires, and I never shared them with my man, and it took 10 years before we recognized that we were so not on the same page about everything that mattered, and only on the same page about things that didn't. So let's keep talking about this when we get back. And I will tell you by the end of the show what happy couples know. Thanks to Greg Kunis for sponsoring Journey with Judy. We'll be back on the other side of the break.
But I had no way of knowing just how hard this journey could be.
All right, so it's totally true. The mountains are steeper and the valleys are deeper than we ever thought they would be in every relationship. Every single relationship calls us to places and spaces that we wouldn't typically go. Because here's what we do. We come to relationships with these hopes and these dreams and desires, and without talking about those and willingly unpacking them together, the odds are I throw it to you. You and I expect you to make them come true. And I know that my man and I are not the only ones who are guilty of this. And so I got a kid right now navigating a relationship, and I want so much for him to do what I didn't do. Like, I want my kids to know that they know that their hopes and dreams and desires are not expectations, but instead something very beautiful that can be honored, and that the vision is shared by the people that they spend the rest of their life with. Because here's the deal. Life is hard and marriage is hard, and I look at all these people on Facebook and I think, you know, can you just really admit that there's times where you don't want to love your spouse? There are times when you wonder why you married them. There are times where you literally want to stab them in their throat, because that's really what happens. And it doesn't mean you don't love them. It just means that some hopes and dreams and desires became expectations. And the minute that happens, we become a people who have a strong belief that something is going to happen in the near future. And here's the thing. They don't know. My man always says to me, Jude, I didn't get a crystal ball. Like, I did not get a crystal ball when we got married. Just tell me what you want and I'll do it. Now, I know that. I know that about Bobby today. He lives and breathes to satisfy me and our kids. He does. He literally lives his life in service of us. But here's when he stops doing that. When he feels unappreciated and undervalued, and when we go from appreciating to expecting him to do certain things. So here's the deal. When we bring our box of stuff, it doesn't feel like a hope and a dream and a desire. It feels like a really heavy weight. It feels like a bar, like my man used to always say when we were in counseling, like, lower the bar, like you just keep raising the bar. And it's true, we do that. And when someone is not meeting our expectation, failure is inevitable. I mean, I lived my entire life until I woke up, and I still default to these behaviors, having expectations of people that not only weren't communicated, but they're not even reasonable. They're not even feasible. And let's be honest, it's just not fair. It's just not fair to be in relationships with people and expect that our hopes and dreams are up to them to come through for us. It's just not. So anyway, here's the deal. And the great news is we got a second show here, and it was not my intention to leave you hanging on what happy couples know, because I'm not going to tell you what happy couples know, but they know what my man and I didn't know. So I'm going to tell you four things, and then I'm going to make you, I think this is going to be a four-part series. If not, I'll try to wrap it up in a two-part series. But if you're like my man and I, and you didn't talk about these things, then people start assuming, you start assuming that the chores get done a certain way, that the kids get raised a certain way, that money gets saved or spent a certain way. And then here's the thing. Like in my house, if you don't make it really clear, it becomes really unclear. The other day, my daughter Campbell said to me, "Mom, honestly, like, what do you even do around here? Like, Dad does everything." And that was a little humbling. I appreciated that my daughter was that honest. But when I did try to name all the things I do in comparison to my man, guess what? I came up really, really short, because I have come to expect, right? I've come to expect that Bobby does all the things that he does. And most oftentimes, I don't even appreciate it, because it's just become what he does. So here's the four things. I got 1 minute left. I'm getting the 1 minute sign. Okay, four things. When our hopes and dreams and desires aren't met, we do one of four things. We leave. We win. We decide that either we win, which means somebody loses, which is never, never a good situation in a relationship. Number three, we conform. Right. And it's always great when someone becomes someone else because we need them to, which is not OK. Or number four, we compromise. And there's nothing wrong with compromise. But when we cast aside that which we hope, that which we desire, and that which we dream for only the sake of our marriage, we end up with a marriage that's just barely surviving. Oh, so that's it. That's it. That's all the talk. That's all I can tell you today. And here's the thing. I want my marriage and I want my relationship to be that which God calls it to be, which means it can't always be about my marriage and my relationship. So this week, I pray that you stay tuned next week so you can learn what it is that happy couples know and happy couples do. Because life would be way easier if I knew then what I knew now. Otherwise, if you're not going to stay tuned, at least keep it hot, honest, open, and transparent. Peace out.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land gift shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.